I thought I was lifting weights. I was doing Taibo, all the Billy Blanks videos. Like, I had the little 5-pound dumbbells. You know, no shame. You got to start wherever you're at. But my husband was like, you got to get in the gym. You don't really lift. And I'm like, yeah, I do. He was like, you don't fucking lift. So I got my first gym membership to actually lift in 2013. And so that really helped with me putting on muscle and losing fat. And I look way better doing that than the 1 hour or 75 minutes of cardio I was doing 7 days a week that I couldn't even keep up with.
Welcome to Cut the Crap with Beth and Matt, the world's number one no bullshit health and fitness podcast.
Are you ready to cut the crap with your diet and exercise, get strong as fuck, and build a healthy relationship with food? Then you've come to the right place.
Let's go. If you'd like to support us in the podcast, join our Patreon where you get exclusive content, which consists of monthly workouts you can do at home or at the gym, monthly challenges that are either strength, habit, or mindset-based, and access to over 100-plus low-calorie, high-protein, family-friendly meals. These are all designed by a professional chef who is certified in nutrition. These recipes are already in MyFitnessPal for easy fucking tracking. New recipes are also added each week.
We believe that fitness is for everyone, so this is our way of getting you started on your health and fitness journey at a price most everyone can afford. So what the fuck are you waiting for? We'll see you in the Patreon.
And cut the crap.
Oh, that's what I love, right? So Eve, if you don't mind introducing yourself and letting people know who you are, and we'll just go from there.
Sure. Perfect. My name is Eve Guzman. You can pretty much find me on Instagram with the same name, but I am a nutritionist and business coach for fitness coaches, and I've happened to lose 150 pounds.
Oh, just you just
that's
so
a
happened,
short story. Right?
Wow. That's phenomenal. Well done on the weight loss and everything else too, you know, with your nutrition coaching with because you work with clients and then you also coach fitness coaches then as well.
Yes.
Many hats. Very cool.
I just, because I've been reading up about you, you were in People magazine for losing half your body size.
That's no, I just posted about it.
Yeah.
A couple days.
I did not know that. And I was like, damn. So let's chat about that. Like how, I guess, transpiring into losing all that weight and getting in People magazine. I think it was from a hashtag, half her size.
Yeah. Everybody's like, how did you apply? And I get people that DM me and go, can you hook me up with the application? I'm like, I don't think it works like that, but you can try Googling it and searching for it. But I had actually lost 120 pounds before I had joined Instagram. And I created my account in 2013, kind of just doing what everybody else is doing, showing your kids. If you scroll way back, you'll see like crazy costume Halloween parties, just like whatever. It was just life. And I got a Polar fitness watch, I think for like a birthday or something in 2013. And I was like, maybe I should like hunker down and really try to get to this goal of losing half my body weight. And so the very first fitness post I ever did was the Polar fitness watch. I think it was that side by side with like the PB Fit, the powdered peanut butter that I don't even eat anymore. But that was the very first post. And I created my account at that point, changed my name and said, okay, I'm going to start documenting me losing the last 20-ish pounds to get to the half my size goal. And I think the first time I had saw the People magazine where they have the special like half their size issues, typically once a year, sometimes there's like a bonus one they do midway through the year. I think the first one I saw was maybe in like 2008, 2009. I would buy them every year, almost like building a shrine of like all these magazines of all these people that have lost weight. And back in the day, it used to be like some of the stories were like Slim Fast and like the Atkins diet and Jenny Craig, you know, natural weight loss like mine. And I was like, I'm going to hunker down and do all of my posting on Instagram as just like a diary to show that I'm going to lose this weight. And so I started using the hashtag half her size. Nobody knew who I was. Like I had 5 likes, 7 likes. My photos were hideous. They're all there. I know a lot of people like turn into something else and they go back and delete all the old photos, but I left them all up. So they're there for everybody's enjoyment to go look and laugh at. But I hit the half my size point April 2014. kept using the hashtag, did a little celebration. I just kept going on with life. And they found me through the hashtag, reached out. They were calling, they were emailing. I don't even know how they got my number. I thought it was a bunch of shit. I was like, someone's just like fucking with me. Like, my friends and family now know, you know, how I've lost all this weight. And it was legit. So they interviewed me. I went through like this, like a process of them like eliminating people for like not being honest. And I ended up in the magazine, and it was like December 31st, 2014, went to a supermarket called Marsh. I bought up all of the magazines. I had the cashier lady take a photo of me. She hugged me, absolute stranger. And that was kind of it. The rest is history.
That's amazing.
That's pretty fucking cool. It's almost like you have that, like, what is that? The secret, putting that out there. You know, you're like, I'm gonna fucking do this, man.
How long had it taken you to lose the initial weight all the way before you started that challenge?
Yeah. So the first 120 pounds, I think I started losing in 2004. So this is like a long journey. I know people glorify like, oh my God, it's like so great. And I'm like, not quite. Mm-hmm. But I lost 120 pounds in about 16 months. Same thing, celebrated. And then I got pregnant with my son. So I got pregnant. I got up to about, I think it was like 198 pounds. I'm 5 feet tall. Previously, I was almost 300. I had capped out at like 280 something, but stopped weighing myself. So almost 200 pounds. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm gaining the weight back. I'm going to be a failure. All of my friends and family that were like, you're not going to lose that weight anyway. You know, I'm wondering what they're thinking. And I ended up losing the baby weight pretty quickly because I stayed exercising and eating right all the way through, you know, not to glorify like the baby snapback, because I don't believe in that. But, you know, over 4 or 5 months, I lost that baby weight and then got back down to my pre-baby weight. So that was kind of like 2007. And after that, I kind of like just floated and kind of fumbled around. I would gain 10, lose 10, move to Arizona to open up a lab, new foods. I was eating everything. I gained 20 pounds, got back on track, lost the 20. Then I opened another lab and moved to Indiana. New foods, new restaurants, then put on another 20 pounds. And so it was kind of like me fumbling around from 2007, 2008 to almost 2013. And then I dug in and lost those last 20 pounds.
Got it. Now, I like what you said there, that you was kind of fluctuating during all these different periods of your life, because I think if people listening could understand that your weight's going to fluctuate like that as you go through different, you know, journeys in your life and different challenges, moving, finding new foods to enjoy and things like that. Like, that's perfectly normal. And losing those last 20 pounds, like you just said, can be pretty difficult for a lot of people. Did you find that it was pretty, you know, pretty difficult to get to that point?
Oh, yeah. Like in the beginning, I like really had to realize like what got me to this point is probably not going to get me to the next level, but I started doing things completely different. Like when I lost the weight in the beginning, I did all the shit that I don't even approve of. And I'm always honest about that. I'm never saying I am this macro coach and I coach macro coaches and I've lost 150 pounds just tracking macros. That's a bunch of shit. That is not what happened. I did 1,200 calorie diets. I did Slim Fast, the portion plate thing, or I even bought like a kid's plate and ate on that. Like I did all the things. And I was gaining those 20 pounds back and forth because none of that shit was sustainable. And I had the life changes. And then it was like, I got to get a new gym or moving into area that was like scorching hot. I couldn't work outside when it was 118 in Arizona. But I was like, I got to do something differently. And then that's when I really started focusing on calories, protein, and fiber. So it was kind of like the pre-macro era for me in 2013. And then late 2014, I switched over to doing exclusively macro tracking. And my body just completely changed. Everything that I had done before threw all of that out the window. Like, I don't even know how much protein I was eating when I lost the first weight.
Okay, gotcha.
And when you say your body completely changed, you're meaning like recomposition. Like it was actually, were you starting to strength train and focusing, like you said, on protein, and therefore you started to see more body changes in that way where you got more muscle?
Oh, yeah. I was lifting some fucking weights. Like, I thought I was lifting weights. I was doing Taibo, all the Billy Blanks videos. Like, I had the little 5-pound dumbbells. You know, no shame. You got to start wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. But my husband was like, you got to get in the gym. You don't really lift. And I'm like, yeah, I do. He was like, you don't fucking lift. So I got my first gym membership to actually lift in 2013. And so that really helped with me putting on muscle and losing fat. And I looked way better doing that than the 1 hour or 75 minutes of cardio I was doing 7 days a week that I couldn't even keep up with.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people just don't understand that aspect of it. It's like when we say we want you guys to strength train, it's because there's so many more benefits than you just doing fucking shit ton of cardio. I mean, like you, I started there too, like doing all the pink dumbbells and all that stuff, but it literally, I look the same. Now flinging weights and focusing on protein, your body like changes and it's like, oh, this is the toned look, like that word, you know, that everyone wants that they think they're going to be getting from fucking Orange Theory.
Not going to happen.
No. You're not going to get the body you want from doing circuit classes and circuit training and high intensity this. High intensity fucking everything. No, you're not going to get those results doing that. You've got to lift some heavy fucking weights like you said.
Yeah, like even in the beginning when I got to my goal weight in 2014 and I was lifting some weights, I was disappointed. I was like, I've lost all this fucking weight that I've been like dying to lose. And I looked like a smaller version of the big me. Like I felt sloppy. I felt flabby. Like I didn't have the body that I thought I was going to come out on the other side looking like. Like I would buy all the fitness magazines, Shape, Women's Health. And I'm like, I'm going to look like all of these models that are 135 pounds when I get there. I did not. I didn't have a single bit of definition. I had no abs. I had like no nicely rounded shoulders, no little bicep curl, no quad swoop. It was nothing. I was a smaller version of exactly what I looked like when I was a size 24. And I really didn't change my body composition till 2014 and 2015. In the year of 2015, I lost 1 pound all year. And I would have so many people coming at me on Instagram going, you're fucking lying. You're keep losing weight. Like, when are you going to stop? Is it an obsession? And I'm like, I've lost 1 pound. I lost 19 inches that year just from macro tracking and weight training. And then I finally got the look that I had wanted trying to lose the first 150. That's I just need one more pound in 1 year of lifting weight. But no one wants to wait for that shit.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so how did you go through a period when you weren't losing any more, let's say, weight on the scale because you started strength training? Did that kind of mind fuck you in the beginning?
Yeah, it did.
You know how a lot of people are like, well, I'm gaining, I'm not losing anything. And, you know, I don't know if I'm doing this right. So,
you know. All the DMs I get, I'm not losing, but I'm like, well, what are you doing?
Right, right.
Yeah, it was because my whole life I had been overweight and the goal had been to lose weight. And I did get a lot of mental satisfaction of seeing the weight go down on the scale. And I had to start focusing on like, how do I look in the clothing? How do I feel? How strong am I versus just the weight on the scale? And it was a mind fuck. And I had to go through a reverse diet and eating at maintenance, which I still didn't do quite properly then, but it was a start as opposed to me like eating right at my BMR forever.
Yeah, no doubt. You can't eat at your BMR forever. And like you said, when you first started, you shouldn't be eating at your BMR. Most people shouldn't be. But like you said, at the beginning of your journey, you were doing those 1200 calorie diets and all those really restrictive diets and then all the excessive amounts of cardio. And it's just amazing once you incorporate more calories and strength training and prioritizing that protein, what can happen then? Like I don't want to say miracle, but it's a fucking miracle, you know, when we fuel our body and nourish our body, how your body responds to that, you know, nourishing and not neglecting it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so you are a scientist, correct?
Yes.
Because I heard you talk about labs, going back to the lab, right? So what kind of scientist are you?
Oh my God. So immediately when you said that, I was like, damn, I'm a scientist, but I did those dumbass diets. You don't know till you know. Like, you don't really know until you know. So mm-hmm. I actually initially set out to be a doctor, had a kid in college. And so I had to change up things. And I decided to go to school for medical laboratory science. And that's what I got certified in. So I started off in microbiology, played around with a lot of bugs and parasites. And then I found my true love in clinical pathology. So basically doing most of the blood work and serology that people do to get done for like their annual labs. And then it expanded into me working in genetic toxicology to see how drugs affect the body when people are taking drugs, like for heart conditions, kidney conditions, and making sure that the drugs are safe and effective. So I've had my hand in a lot of things. I would definitely say that immunochemistry, so like pharmacokinetics and drug metabolism, has been my favorite. But yeah, I started off as a scientist, and now I teach everybody how to not restrictive diet.
The science of macros.
Right? Literally. That's funny. That we don't know what we don't know, and it's so true. Like, shit like that.
It's all learned skills. That's really all it is. You don't have the skill when you first start. You're not going to be good at something when you first start. But with practice and trial and error and having some setbacks and then bouncing back, you'll figure it out. Mm-hmm.
So how do you get people to stop focusing on that scale and start looking at the other things that they're actually accomplishing, right?
The age-old question.
Yeah. Well, so people need to hear it.
Oh, yeah. So one of the things that we even ask on like an application intake form and even our discovery calls is like, you know, what is your goal weight? What are your goals? Blah, blah, blah. But we also extend it to say, like, when have you actually like felt your best? And when we ask that, we were like, we say things like, what size clothing were you at? So we start like initially like changing the perspective and changing their narrative on like the goal has to absolutely be 145, 137, you know, plug in whatever number it is. And, you know, a lot of people will go, yeah, I was a size 2, but then they'll go, that was pre-baby and pre-this, and that was 27 years ago. Or that was before I got married 11 years ago. And I'm like, you know, you're not the same person anymore, right? Like things have changed. And what if we start working together and you find out that that 145 pound goal that you have your mind set on isn't actually the best goal for you, because at 155, you actually fucking look like you want to look, and you may look better than this 145 that you've had your mind on forever. And the other thing I like to tell them is like, nobody knows your fucking weight. You, your doctor, half of women, probably 75%, their husband doesn't know. A lot of women, we don't want to say what our weight is. Like, nobody knows your weight but you. Nobody even knows the clothing size but you. And so if you lost 20 pounds and got to that goal of 145 pounds and no one else could tell, how would you even feel? No one is even going to know. So that year when people were on my ass going like, when are you going to stop losing weight? When are you going to get out of a deficit? I'm like, I'm not. They thought that I was still transforming in the area of weight loss, but it was really the body recomposition. And then, like, I'll admit, I looked damn good then. And I got to the point where I stopped focusing on the scale. That is what did it for me when I looked like what made me feel good to be able to kind of throw that number out. But until you can lean into the process of touching on a lot of these like frameworks that you guys and I have in our coaching, like until you lean into what is uncomfortable, you'll never know. And you're going to be chained to the scale forever. And obviously, if you're looking for help, what you were doing before wasn't working anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one always baffles me when somebody will tell me literally, like, we'll get on a coaching call and they're going to be, oh, I'm just going to keep trying it my own way for another 6 months or something. But like, you've been trying it your own way for 30 years. That's fucking the definition of insanity right there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to, if you keep spinning your wheels, like invest in yourself, spend money on getting a coach. And for me, like I spun my wheels for years until I actually got a coach and learned about macros and weighing and measuring my food. Before, I was just eating like rice and avocado, and you know, you can still gain weight from those things. I don't think people really understand it doesn't matter what you eat. It's just, if you're eating too much. But when I started tracking, weighing, measuring my food, it was an eye opener. Like, okay, I was just eating too much portions.
Yeah, same for me. Like my Starbucks run in the morning that I felt like I had to have to cope being in management in a pharmaceutical like research environment, which is extremely, extremely stressful, especially when you're working on studies that are getting approved through the FDA. Like I thought I had to have it. Like it was an addiction. It was really just a habit. And then I'm like, damn, these things are like 450 calories. And I'm like, it's just coffee. I'm like, right? I'm over consuming just
it's like a meal.
Drink.
Meal. People don't understand that they're drinking full meals of calories.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. We had a client that made that connection a couple of weeks ago. They were doing like 600 to 800 calories extra a couple times a week. And then, you know, when it was, they were wondering why they weren't losing weight. And then when we did the math, the weight that they weren't losing, well, it came in the form of those 600 to 800 calories that they finally decided to start tracking and being honest about. It's wild. And macros really are a complete game changer, in my opinion. I mean, because they do teach you, they teach you so fucking much. They teach you about, they teach you about nutrition labels. They teach you about macro and micronutrients and your balance and how you can eat a piece of pizza and still be fit, healthy and losing weight. And I don't know, it's just a really fucking good building block to have in your foundation.
When the world feels crazy and chaotic, remember that you don't have to. You deserve to take control of your mental and physical health, and Cured Nutrition is trying to make it easier for you to do exactly that. Cured wants you to feel good about feeling good, so they took their time formulating their Serenity gummies. They left out the artificial flavors, sugars, and dyes, and replaced them with ingredients that actually live up to their wellnessy word. Finding calm in this fast-paced world can be very challenging. That's why I use and love the Serenity gummies. They help to provide a physical, mental, and emotional sense of calm in everyday life. I personally like to take them before a long day of calls and meetings. The Serenity Gummies bring me to a happy place and they prepare me for the day's challenges, while also helping me to serve others to the best of my ability by providing a sense of peace and calmness in my body and mind. Right now, Cured is extending an exclusive offer to you, our listeners. You can grab a bag of Serenity Gummies for 20% off by visiting www.curednutrition.com/CTC and using coupon code CTC at checkout. That's CURED nutrition.com/CTC and coupon code CTC at the checkout to save 20%. Protect your peace, pop a gummy.
Do you Absolutely. Have people that will come to you and you're like, well, I do not want to track macros. There's no way I could do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you know, we're macro coaches, right? Like, you know, this is what we do. We have coach people that don't want to track, but we have to tell them like right up front, your expectations probably need to change. Like the result that you're wanting to get, we may not be able to get exactly where you want to be if there is no tracking involved. If you have like a very laser focused goal, like maybe the last 10 pounds, it's going to be really fucking hard to lose those last 10 pounds without tracking, especially if you're generally healthy, you work out, you know, a few times a week, whatever. It's going to be really hard to like dial in on where we're going to create that negative balance of calories for you to be able to get to the weight loss. And you can eat like all the avocado and all the salmon you want, but if you're over consuming what your maintenance goal would be, we're not going to be able to lose weight. So we do have some people that don't track and the expectation is different and they just want accountability. So sometimes we'll just do things like a portion-based approach or a behavior approach. But we have also people come in that say that because they're afraid to track. And we start to really dive into why don't you want to track? What is like the root behind why you are against tracking? And we get everything. You know, sometimes I think it's going to be obsessive. I've heard some people that have had disordered eating from it. It takes too much time. It's too hard. I'm too busy. I think I should just be able to eat what we want. Well, let me fucking tell you, don't we all want to be able to eat what we want and weigh what we want and look whatever the way we want. It doesn't always happen naturally like that. Like genetically, I am not going to be someone that is going to be tiny, skinny, small. And so I'm going to have to work a little bit harder. And I know that because I have tracked and I know what works for me. And I know, you know, what maintenance is like and a surplus and a deficit. But until you really get tracking under your belt, you won't know what you're able to do without sometimes needing a track to actually get to the goal. It's not meant to be forever. It's really a means. It's a tool to get to the goal. I spend most of my year not tracking. The food that I think, was it yesterday or today? I don't know, because I'm always like making delicious things. Like whatever it was with this sandwich with like the egg and, oh my God, it was so great. I think you just did one. It was like a drippy egg sandwich, you called it.
Oh, did you make that? Yeah, did you make that yesterday? Today you made one, right? I saw that in your stories.
Like a different version. Mm. That's not tracked. I'm not tracking that. Like right now, no. But you really won't know what your portion sizes would even be to intuitively eat without tracking until you track.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't track macros anymore. Beth, I don't think you're currently tracking macros. I tracked macros for a couple of years back from 2016 up through about 2018 or 19. I've been taking more mindful eating approach since then. But I may start tracking macros here soon because I just hired one of the coaches on my team to take me through a muscle building phase. And I need to make sure I'm getting enough calories and protein for that to happen. So with mindful eating, I don't, you know, it's hard to know how many calories and how much protein you're getting in with that. So I'm going to be doing that because I got a goal. So I got to do that to make sure that I'm going to accomplish that goal.
Yeah, it goes in reverse. It's not just tracking to lose weight. Like you can't build if you're not eating enough.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I actually am tracking right now. I go through phases.
Oh, you are tracking right now.
I'll stop and I'll start because I'm a human. You know, I make mistakes all the time. I will overeat and then, you know, I dial it back. So I think that it's always good to have that to go back to be like, okay, yeah, you know what, Beth, you kind of are in a surplus right now. You don't really need to be. So dialing it back in and then, you know, I'm just one of those people that I'm an overconsumer too.
Right. And and that's what we're teaching is tools. And that's what we want people to take away from all of this is that we're building up a tool belt and we're going to be able to pick and choose these tools in any situation that we have because we've been there and done it. We're not going to use those tools all the time. It's not a fucking multi-purpose tool. It's one tool for one thing. So what kind of client do you typically work with? Because when I see macros and hear macros, the way I look at macros, it's a way to really get specific with your physique, if that's your goal. So do you work with a lot of people that are really wanting to hone in their physique?
A little bit so, but now we actually work more with women over the age of 35. So we're kind of like in that like pre or perimenopause phase of a lot of women that are like, oh my gosh, my body is changing. I'm doing everything I have been doing before, or so they think. And I don't like how I'm feeling. I don't like how I'm necessarily looking. A lot of these women, like their weight may not even have changed a lot, but a lot of it is coming down to nutrition, mostly protein, micronutrients, and needing to lift to keep the muscle that they're starting to lose every year. So we work exclusively with our female coaches, with women over the age of 35, and because I'm in that bracket now too. I'm 41.
You just had a birthday, didn't you?
I know. I just had a birthday.
Mm-hmm. Happy belated birthday.
Happy belated birthday. Oh, speaking of perimenopause, menopause, fucking menopausal brain fart.
You're going through it, aren't you?
You have no idea. Yeah. Yes, I am going through it.
So you said you just turned 41, but how old do you feel?
I think I feel like when I have to say the number 41, I don't even want to say it. Like we don't even say we coach women over 40 because I'm like, we're not there yet, you guys. We're not really 40, are we? Like some of us on the team are, but some of the other coaches are in their late 30s too. But I feel like if I was allowed to pick a number and stick with it for the next couple years, I would say 33. And I know I don't look like I am 41. I know I don't look like I have a daughter that's about to be 21 and has been like living on her own in like another state where she goes to college. Like me and my husband, like we don't feel like we're 41. No, I don't. Well, he's 40. He's always like, you're the old one, but it's cool.
And so your brother, or not your brother, but your husband is also pretty active then too, right? Because he was the one that was encouraging you to start lifting heavy weights.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, so he's like the former athlete and he has his own transformation story. He got up to 400 100 pounds and has lost 125 pounds.
Wow.
Because, you know, when you're young, a lot of the times if you're active in sports all the time, especially professionally, you can eat what you want. So him eating, you know, a couple cheeseburgers and French fries, like you're burning probably 1,000 calories minimum working out per day if they're not even doing, you know, two-a-day workouts. But when all of that activity stopped and, like, food tastes good, like, your weight is going to change. Like, it's, you know, it's all about that energy balance. You know, what are you burning? What are you consuming? But, yeah, he had his own transformation as well.
That's amazing. You both lost essentially a whole another person.
Did you guys kind of do that at the same time, or was it kind of differently?
Kind of differently. So I started before him because I had always been overweight. I think when we met, I was 210 or 220 pounds. And again, I'm 5 feet tall, but he liked it. He was fine with how I looked, obviously. So snagged him anyway, you know. So shout out to all the women that are like, I'm not going to get. Yes, you are. You're going to get somebody. But I gained more weight after the pregnancy, and that's how I ended up getting up to that size 24. So I started before him, and he was still, you know, pretty fit. He had played college ball, then arena ball, and he was staying active, so he was good. And so I'm like losing weight, and then his career is changing, and then his weight is actually going up. So we were going in opposite spots. And then when we both ended up moving to Arizona, and I helped with a startup laboratory out there, then we both had work to do. So that's really when we started doing it together. And we had to like really get laser focused, but it was so much easier kind of doing like that second part of it with him.
Yeah. A lot of people don't have that support either.
Oh my gosh, no.
That's a really big one. I see it all too often as the spouse does not support the other during their transformation. And so was he kind of there for you no matter what, you know, because you like you said, you met him at a certain size. And then when you started losing the weight, did that kind of affect anything in your relationship? Or was he like, go Eve?
He was like, go Eve, do what you got to do. I mean, sometimes it would be where if like food was ordered to the house, I'm like, I'm going to our room. Like, I'm sorry, I can't. Or he would give me a heads up like, hey, I want to eat this tonight. What can you do? And so I would like scan the menu. What can I get? And I would still make him hold me accountable. And I would go, I am going to get, you know, the Santa Fe chicken and the baked potato and broccoli. Do not let me order the fries. Like, I want the fries. Do not let me order the fries when I get there. I can have one or two of yours, but please make sure. And that's like the conversations we've had ever since then. I tell him exactly what I'm supposed to be doing when I know I'm weak. And then he'll back me up and then vice versa.
That's an amazing awesome. Accountability and support from your partner.
Right.
Versus like the sabotagers that bring home like the whole. Like,
are you sure that you don't want this, Eve? You know you do.
Come on.
That happens because they.
He was never like, it's just one meal, and you know, and it's true. But like, if you're kind of feeling weak already, it can ricochet into a whole weekend. You got to be careful sometimes.
Yeah.
You got to know yourself.
That's it right there. And to have that communication, like you guys were communicating, he was asking you, hey, I'm doing this, not be like just bringing it home, knowing that, you know, Eve loves her fries, right? So I'm just going to buy all this shit. I'm going to put it right in front of her and not even care.
And I'm going to fuck it up.
Exactly.
So with macros, then I would like to talk about some common myths you see and hear about macros. And I've got a big one in my mind, but I want to see what you say first.
Oh, so common myths before people like start, like they're totally like, you know, aversion to counting macros. Okay, cool. So biggest things I will hear are, I think I'm going to have to intermittent fast. Am I going to have to do keto? Is macro tracking keto? Do I need to cut out all the carbs? That's probably the biggest one. I got to go low carb. I got to cut my carbs. I have to eat boring food. I have to have boiled chicken, broccoli. I can't go out to eat. I can't vacation. It's going to be super time consuming to track my food.
That's a lot of misconceptions about macros, right?
It's a lot. I mean, there's so many. I'm going to have to eat diet food. I mean, just
All foods fit.
Probably the biggest one of the carbs.
Yep.
The biggest one is carbs.
It's that this is disordered to me. Like, this is macro tracking. It's disordered eating.
All the time. I get it all the time.
Like, come on. Yeah. Like, everything can be disordered to the right person, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus, like, stop it, people. Come on. So the myth I was thinking of, maybe not a myth, but more of a question that we get a lot, and it's, should I track calories or should I track macros, right? Then I'm like, well, if you're tracking macros, you're tracking calories, right? I mean, you're just a little bit more. So you're not tracking 2,000 calories for the day. You're tracking 30% protein, 30% carbs, 40% fat, whatever your split is, right?
Yeah, I get that a lot. And I tell people, it's like, really, you're just changing the lens of how you are setting the goal for your food consumption for the day. So if I get people that come to us and they're like, oh, I've been tracking calories in MyFitnessPal for years, I'm like, great. You can actually go into MyFitnessPal and look at all those entries and, you know, turn your phone sideways and now see the average macros of what you have been tracking. If people haven't already tracking calories, we love that because we have a baseline of how they typically eat. We have the food journal. We know their average fiber. We know their sodium. We know how many times a day they're eating. But most importantly, we can see those averages of the three macros, protein, carbs, and fats. And we can start to see what's kind of keeping them from the goal right away. And to see if there's like always just highs and lows of everything. Is their fat kind of consistent, or are they someone that actually carbs are pretty decent, but they just go hella over on fat for like any kind of person, you know, in general. And the problem might be all the sauces and the butters and, buying the high fat. Yeah. Juicy, greasy hamburgers. Like, it's probably some of that stuff. And so we will start off, if someone has already been tracking calories, to do calories and protein. And we will start there because they already have to start looking at labels different. They're not just looking at 350 on the back of the label or 190 calories. Now it's going to be like, okay, Eve gave me a goal this week of 1900 calories per day. And I can hit that however I want. But she said, make sure that protein is 120 grams or whatever we're going to say. And that'll be like the first shift of going from calories to macro tracking. And I know there's some people out there that are like diehard macro trackers and they're like, you got to have all three as a goal. No, I can't tell you like how important it is and how much of a dial mover it can be just changing your protein in the beginning. If I had done that years ago, I would have already looked like how I wanted. That's kind of like flexible tracking, just calories and protein. When I'm not tracking to a T, I do that. Like I will do, like especially if it's vacation, I'm calories and protein, carbs and fats will fall where they fall. So if you've already been tracking food, like you're already one step ahead of a lot of people. But if they were brand new to tracking, we would give them a calorie goal just to get them used to like scanning and inputting and then seeing where does their calories actually fall and then starting to make the decisions of should we stay at maintenance for a while or is it a good time to actually go into a deficit because they've been eating enough?
I like how you said that, because they've been eating enough.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's something that people don't mistaken about tracking calories as well. It's like, are you actually eating enough instead of under eating? Mm-hmm. Do you find a lot of people struggle with their protein or they're like, I don't know how I'm not going to go over my calories with eating all this protein. I find that the protein, literally people overthink that so much, but they don't understand it's literally the fucking magic macronutrient.
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about that a little bit, the apprehension when it comes to protein. It's like you're telling them to give up sugar or carbs, but you're really telling them to eat a macronutrient that's going to change their life.
Oh gosh, yeah. So protein is king when it comes to, you know, macros. And so if someone just wanted to increase their protein and they were intuitively, you know, doing what they're doing, they're probably going to look and feel better because protein helps to increase your metabolism. It has a higher thermic effect of food. It's the macro that takes the most energy to actually burn. And it's going to help raise your metabolism because you're also using that with hypertrophy or progressive overload to put on muscle. So you're going to be able to eat more calories and maintain your weight easier by increasing your protein. So for all those naysayers out there that are like, I'm going to go over my calories and I'm going to gain weight because of the protein, it's actually the opposite. And you're satiated, so you're not grazing all night and eating little shit you shouldn't be eating that takes you out of the deficit. And most people just completely overthink it. If you're shooting for protein in every meal, more than likely the protein goal set by your coach is going to be much easier to eat. It's just going to be you shifting your mindset from eating a croissant and coffee for breakfast and actually adding eggs or yogurt, bacon, whatever. Our bodies were designed to love all three macros. Like your carbs and your fat are really the macros you're consuming for energy and also for hormone production and making sure like your hormones are balanced and stable. But we need protein for our metabolism, for us to get stronger. There's so many organs in the body that actually need it too, but we need all three. And so a lot of the times we're just adding protein to what we're eating to hit that goal. Or if you're eating it, you don't have to have like this crazy list of new things and shit you go buy. You just increase the amount of what you're already doing. So your chicken breast size might have to get a little bit heavier, may need to add another egg or another serving of egg whites, whatever it is that you like, but we're really just adding, and you have to really kind of shift your mindset and be more intentional when you're making the meals and not just pick the things that are the yummiest, which are just carbs and fat. It's like eating a croissant every meal. Like you need something else.
Just the croissant. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not going to satiate.
Coffee is not breakfast.
Right. You're going to be hungry soon after you have that croissant for sure.
You're going to want a second croissant 15 minutes later. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why we have two or three of them at a time. So I love how you're saying adding things on to your existing diet because we're not taking things away. But then when we start looking at adding things, right, because, you know, maybe somebody's having 2 ounces of chicken breast. We're like, okay, double it up. Let's get 4 ounces right there. And they're like, you want me to eat how much? Like, and then you're like, I can't eat something that big. How do you kind of handle that conversation?
Well, you eat the whole fucking bag of potato chips. That wasn't too big. I'm just kind of like, I'm being honest.
Yeah.
It's true. Okay. How many of us can like sit down and knock out a bag of chips? And it's like 700, 1,000 calories. And you're complaining about 2 more ounces of protein that might only be like 60, 70 calories.
Right.
And then like when you're falling off on the weekends all the time, it's probably because you're under consuming protein all week. You can't really knock it till you try it. I mean, I'm telling you, like this is a science-based approach to nutrition.
It is.
It works.
It totally works.
It works.
There's psychology behind there too, with, you know, overeating on the weekends because you're not eating enough during the week. And we see that all the time. Like with a lot of the clients that we work with, we help people overcome like emotional eating and things like that. But when they simply start adding, like starting their meals every day with protein, guess what happens? Most of the time they stop craving those foods at nighttime. It's like protein, but people like protein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I front load all of the time because I know I can be a night eater. And so if I'm having my biggest meals at breakfast and lunch, I'm not eating things that are going to throw me out of whatever calorie bracket I have for my goal because I'm front loading the protein.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No more nighttime snackies if you get that protein in early. And that's why intermittent fasting to me, I mean, it works for some people, obviously, but for the majority who are just looking for, you know, what about intermittent fasting? It's probably the number one question I fucking get. And it drives me so crazy. Yeah. You can't get adequate protein that way. And if you're a binger, you like that nighttime snacking, that's probably why. You're not getting enough protein and you're skipping that meal until 1 o'clock. You got 40 grams of protein by 6.
You know, fucking with that.
And 800 grams of carbs. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about your macro mentorship. How exciting. How long have you been doing that?
Oh my gosh. So I created it in 2018. Oh, it's my baby. I love this program. And then we launched it the very first time in 2019. So it's been about 5 years, which is like really weird to say, but because that, you know, that doesn't happen all the time that someone has a program that, like, we're on the 14th round right now, where like they keep it going longer than like a year, year and a half, maybe 2 years top. But it's a program I created after I had a lot of coaches just reaching out saying, I hear you're like the queen of macros. Can you teach me how? And people wanted to get on private Zoom calls with me. And that started, I think 2017, 2018, just doing one-off calls with people that I knew in the industry. We'd get on a call for an hour and they would bring like all of their clients' check-ins and we would go through them case study style and they would pull up Julie and then we go through Susie's macros and like giving them feedback on why they might be stuck or kind of how to optimize their transformation. And I couldn't do that forever, like all these just like one calls. And then I started off with a group. And here we are today, nearing, hopefully this week it happens, 1,000 coaches. So
that's amazing in just 5 years.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, incredible. And how often do you launch like a new macro mentorship that happens?
Typically 2 or 3 times a year. There's been some years where we've only done 2. And there's also been some versions that we've done it over a 3-day span. It's like an intensive. And so we've crammed it in. So it just depends on if we run any rounds where it's like the intensive and they get in, get out, or the 4-month traditional cohorts that we do.
And they're also accredited by like, am I correct with like NASM and all that stuff? They can get credits for that, right?
Yep, they get their credits for that, which is great because people can renew like their personal training certs, mm-hmm. especially if you want to keep it active because you're training out in person. So we are accredited by NASM, AFA, ISSA. We've also had people petition. So they've got like the ACSM and ACE. Even a lot of physicians, chiropractors, physical therapists use them for their continuing education credits. Even nurses have used them for, you know, courses and having to keep up like their board certs.
And what would the difference be between, let's say, a nutrition cert from ISA and the macro mentorship?
You're going from generalized to like completely laser focused on macros and how to actually apply macros to your clients. You know, most of us have had like the general nutrition certifications where you get done and you're like, I kind of already knew that stuff, but it was like more detailed, more sciencey, but I like still don't even know how to coach. And I feel like a lot of certifications, it's almost like there's like a 10-foot pole, you know, lengths of them staying away from telling coaches how to exactly calculate macros with like these wide ranges and generalizations. And clients are like, well, I did this. And they're like, yeah, carbs can be set at like 10 to 65% of their daily calories.
Right.
That's like so huge. Like, what do I actually do? And they're like, I got the credentials, but I don't know what I'm kind of doing still. You know, how do I coach, you know, client Susie or whoever it is? So we have actually helped clients become really, really good and confident and master doing macro calculations, adjustments, special populations, show them how to actually set up their coaching, how to do the like client check-ins and things like that versus doing a cert where you just sit behind a computer by yourself, nobody to ask any questions, bounce ideas off, know if you've set up Susie's macros correctly, and you're kind of just doing it solo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can tell you that my ISA nutrition cert is useless without all the continuing education I've had to do. You know, like you said, like I took it and I'm like, well, what the fuck now? Like I got mine here too. I'm like, what do I do now? Like, okay, this kind of makes no sense to me. And now I have to take more certs to actually get what they're trying to fucking tell me.
Knowledge without being able to apply that knowledge is useless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got that one, I think like December 1st or something, 2014. I was like, I still don't really know all I need to know. Mm-hmm. And there was no macro nutrition of like exclusive cert out there that really dove into like how to work with people with Hashimoto's or hypothyroidism, perimenopause. And people were like, help me. And, you know, a lot of people have so much access to education. And so they're asking coaches right away, do you work with people that have perimenopause? It wasn't like when we probably were all starting, like, I just want to lose some weight. Now people are like, I got to lose weight. I got PCOS. I have this and that. My diet. And you're like, oh my God. And that can be really, you know, really scary for a new coach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know when I first started coaching, I actually took the macro approach when I was trying to teach macros to my clients, but I didn't really love coaching and teaching macros and things like that. So that's when, and plus we also found that macros just weren't necessarily right for the particular client that we were working with, because we had so much other behavior change to undergo before they could even worry about doing something like macro tracking.
Oh, yeah.
Your new rounds is starting soon, right? Are you still taking people in right now?
Yep, we're still taking people in, and we start in 5 days.
Oh, okay. Woo! Nice. And how long is that session? Is it a short period of time, or how many weeks, months?
It runs 16 weeks for each group.
Okay, that's a good amount of time.
Say a coach or somebody that liked what you were saying about the client side of things wanted to reach out to you, learn more about you. How could they do that, especially if they wanted to get involved with the macro mentorship?
Oh, yeah. So we have a account on Instagram for the macro mentorship program. So you can get tons of information there. It's super easy. All one word, macro mentorship. So you'll be able to go over there, get free downloadable guides and resources that we have. You can add yourself to the wait list or join the current round. And once you go to the link in our bio, you'll be able to go to our website, gtransformationacademy.com, and get a lot of that info there as well.
Awesome. Yay. I feel like I can talk to you forever. I know.
I know.
So fun. So where can everyone find you? Just said where everyone can find you. Never mind. See, menopause.
I got, we actually have like 5 Instagram accounts.
That's been living her menopause journey through our podcast.
You know what? I'm taking it to the fucking limit, you guys. Everything is menopause. Menopause made me do it. Okay. That's where I'm at.
Milk it. You have to milk it.
I'm milking it. The F-bombs, you know where they're coming from? Menopause. Okay. So
fucking menopause.
I'm in perimenopause, and it's going to be a long road for me. So you got to do what you got to do.
You know, and at least you've been proactive rather than reactive, which I feel like a lot of people do. They wait till they're right in the thick of it until they do anything. And then it's like a shit show fucking trying to, you know. Yeah. So.
And there goes the mic.
And you know what? That's all she wrote, folks.
But yeah, my main page is Eve Guzman Official on Instagram. So that is like my primary page. You guys can find me there.
Got it. Everybody go follow her.
Yes. Thanks for being here, Eve.
Thanks.
It was great having you.
Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. So why not share with a friend who needs to hear it? Send us a DM on Instagram or email us at cutthecrappod@gmail.com and join our Patreon at patreon.com/cutthecrappodcast. As always, we appreciate you and thanks for being here.